privileged to have Rabbi Shai Schechter with us. I think everyone knows him by now in our shul from when he came to speak in our shul. The fact that his father had the shiur in our shul for so many years. The fact that I quote him all the time. I think these are all really good options of how we know exactly who Rabbi Shai Schechter is. He is a big-time Talmud Chacham, a fantastic speaker. Influences so much of the Jewish world. Before we begin, this shiur tonight is sponsored in honor of by Ellen Kaufman in memory of her parents Sylvia and Harry Kaufmal, and Fern and Arthur Sisser. And lastly, I don't really want to say it, but they are members, so I have to. Sponsored by Julian Shapshi Schreier in honor of our two favorite rabbis, Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Schreier, in no particular order. Thank you very much to our members who decided to sponsor in that honor. So nice of you all. Yes, I am. Anyway, a pleasure, and we are so excited to have Rabbi Schechter with us. Without further ado, Rabbi, thank you so much for being here.
Okay, so good evening, everyone, and Gemar Chasima Tova. It's really a pleasure. Unfortunately, we're unable to be together in the shul. I have such fond memories from that time when we did spend some time together. I actually don't know if anyone's really here. I see lots of names, but I don't know if anyone's behind all of these names. So I hope you're here. I hope you're alive and well. And I'm excited to learn Torah with you together this evening. It actually makes it easier to speak when people turn their screens on. You know, I could see if I'm boring, then I see that people are falling asleep. And then I'll just stop.
I'm going to mute everybody and you just unmute yourself.
That's okay. Okay, so really, I'm privileged to be a part of your shul, and I really want to thank Rabbi Schreier for including me in this opportunity to inspire each other and to be inspired by each other before Yom HaKippurim. I want to take all of us back, not so long ago, August 17th, Tes Elul Tafshin Pei Aleph. So that was about 3 weeks ago, when there was, as we know, there was a raging fire in the Har Yerushalayim, and it was something that was terrifying, and it was a major issue, and there were many, many people who were displaced from their homes as a result of these fires. They were concerned. They didn't know exactly what was going to be. The Israeli news carried a story of one such individual, and the story about this individual, whose name is David, says that him and his wife together, Avarnu lo mizman lemoshav Beit Meir, him and his wife moved not long before these fires broke out to Moshav Beit Meir, which is right outside Merkaz Yerushalayim, right outside the city of Yerushalayim. And here he is. He lives there. V'hayom, he says, and unfortunately today, barachnu mimenu, we had to run away from this city of Beit Meir, from this town. Why? Because there was a Sreifa Gedola b'Harei Yerushalayim. As we all saw the pictures and the videos, there was a terrible fire that put up much of the forests of Yerushalayim were in smoke. And as a result, there was a concern that the town of Beit Meir, which is right on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, was going to be affected as well. So we were evacuated from our home. Kasher l'ta'er et ha'tchusha, he says. It is hard for me to describe the feeling. Kisha'ata roa ananim shel ashan michutz labayit. When you look out your window and all you see is billows of smoke, and you're terrified, and you don't know what's going to be, and you don't know where it's going to land you. Ve'omrim lecha, and the police are there telling you, she'ata tzarich lehitpanot, you have a few minutes to get out before your town catches fire. Ata matchil l'shol atzatzmacha, he says, you start asking yourself, ma chashuv li lakachat? What should I take with me? What is important? Kol hachayim mitnalim amei menuchot, my life is going very well. Everything seems to be fine. I'm living a euphoric lifestyle. It's a bliss. It's great. And pit'om, immediately, yesh lecha kama shniyot, you're given a few minutes, a few seconds to ask yourself, what is the most important item? What is the most valuable thing? What is the most treasured part of my life that I should take with me? I have 2 minutes to figure it out. What am I going to take from my house? And this gave him an opportunity, and he says after 2 days, when he finally settled somewhere else and his family settled down a little bit in the new location, wherever they were relocated to, he says it gave him an opportunity to actually look. Let's see, what did we take? What did we consider to be the most essential, valuable, critical, indispensable items in our life? And what do we think was trivial and secondary and extraneous that we absolutely did not need? And I was so taken by this story. I was so taken by it because I really think it just gives us pause for all of us to ask that question. And we should all be blessed never to have to deal with an actual fire. But the question becomes, what in general in life is essential? What is considered to be an indispensable part of my life? And what perhaps is just considered to be totally extraneous and excessive, something that I don't need at all? And everything can change in 1 minute. I actually looked online to see if a study was ever done about what people actually take with them when their house is burning down. Somebody wrote a book about this. They interviewed hundreds of people. And it took many people until somebody responded that the first thing they would look for, the first thing they would make sure about when running out of a burning home is to make sure that their children were safe. That was not the first answer that many, many, many people gave when they were interviewed. And it shows the sense of value. It shows where their value system is. So the reason I mention this is because we all know that at this time of the year, we insert a special part, a special portion into the Shmona Esrei. And we say, Zachreinu L'chaim. We have an impassioned plea. God, help us out. Melech Chafetz B'chaim, you love life, we love life. V'chasveinu B'sefer HaChaim, L'mancha Elokim Chaim. Help us out, give us life, bless us with life, give us that gift. And we advocate and we petition God that this is what we want and this is what we so dearly need. Let's just say, for starters, we have all learned to take nothing for granted. We have all learned how quickly life can change for any of us. Rachmana Litzlan, in front of our shul 1 week ago, we had a member who was hit by a car right outside of shul, who's still in critical condition. And if it's okay to add on to your mentions at the beginning of this year, I just want to dedicate our Divrei Torah this evening for his chus, for refuah shleima, for a really amazingly kind, generous, thoughtful, and understanding Jew, whose name is Tuvia Moshe Ben Perel. He writes on that he should have a refuah shleima, b'soch shar chole amo Yisrael. But when I thought about it, it really made me pause. Here's a person who is so vibrant, who has such life, who that very morning when he was hit in front of our shul, there was a Bloomberg news item on the top news stories that very day, quoting him about something, a prediction that he had made the night before about the stock market. And all of a sudden, his entire life was thrown upside down. Life is so fickle. And we all ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachreinu L'chaim. Give us life. I've never thought so much about the pasuk when we say, Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. What does it mean when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Bring our lives back to what it once was. How many of us would love to just take life back 1 year? Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. Allow me to live life the way we remember living life. Again, there were many negatives about the way we used to live life. We can leave those behind. But there were so many positives, so many beautiful experiences that we all shared, and unfortunately now we are unable to share because of everything we've been through, because of all we've experienced. Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. So what is this life that we ask for? This highly coveted life that we insert into our Shmona Esrei, Zachreinu L'chaim. What kind of life is that? What does that life look like, and what is it all about? So in order to answer this question, I'd like to turn our attention to a very puzzling Gemara Meseches Erevin. It's an obscure comment. The Gemara has many unusual comments, and you just need the proper commentary to explain them. So here the Gemara has an amazing statement that's very hard to understand. And the Gemara says, Hai alma kebehi lula damya. The Gemara says, our world is considered as likened to a gala festivity, to a great celebration. And therefore, the Gemara says, Chatov ve'echol, take advantage, extract whatever you can from the world that we live in, from the life that we all experience, because it's just a wedding. Now, what does that mean? The Rishonim have great difficulty understanding what exactly this Gemara is trying to teach us. What exactly does the Gemara mean when it says that this world is likened to a wedding? Hard to understand that. Well, the Rishonim say, on face value, that we all know, anybody on here who has ever prepared for a wedding understands very well that the amount of planning, the amount of preparation, the amount of detail that we need to think about before making such a festive celebration, it's hours and hours, hundreds of hours of phone calls and headaches and sleepless nights, and caterers think about now, and you have to cancel this hall because this legally you can't get married in New York, can't get married in New Jersey, and people are going to Philly, people are going all over the place, and it's just so complicated. And we spend so much time preparing for that. Then you show up at the wedding. How long does the wedding last? So you have a certain wedding last 6 hours. Then you have some people who make weddings on Sunday afternoons. They start at 3 o'clock. So the wedding goes 7 hours. 8 hours. What's the maximum the wedding's going to be? 8 hours long. That's the longest it could be. And then it's all over. And there went your hundreds of hours and sleepless nights and so many people involved. In 6 hours, 8 hours, it's all gone. Somebody told me before I got married, make sure that in the duration, throughout the duration of your wedding, you stop every couple of minutes or every half an hour and just take in what's actually going on. Because it's so easy to go to an experience like that and you're just so taken by all the noise, by everything that's going on, you don't even pay attention to the amazing gift that you have that you're getting married. This is all a celebration for you. And you can just miss the whole thing. And that's exactly what the Gemara means here. Hay alma kebehi lula damya. Our world is like a wedding. What does it mean it's like a wedding? The Rishonim say it means that we prepare and we build a house and we buy a car and we buy a property and we invest and we're doing all kinds of things and we need to do all of that. And it's important. But all of that preparation leads to where? We're not going to be here forever. This life is just temporal. It's fleeting. Before you know it, we all get old and it's all over. So make sure to take advantage. Make sure to extract everything you can from this gift of life. And that, the Rishonim explain, is what the Gemara means. Before we go on to a different interpretation, I'll share with you just a very personal story. When I took the job in the Young Israel of Woodmere, it was 7 years ago, that night, I got a call wishing Mazel Tov from Yerushalayim. And that was my great teacher of Usher Weiss. And he had known before that this was about to happen, but the day that it was announced, he called to say Mazel Tov, and he said one thing. He said, Shai, you're taking upon yourself a tremendous responsibility. You're becoming a part of the leadership of a major community. Hundreds, thousands of families, thousands of people, a lot going on. You're going to have all kinds of obligations, and people are going to expect you to go here and to be there. Don't ever forget your family. Don't ever forget about your family. And he told me this Gemara. He said, Shai, have you ever been to a Hasidic chasana? So the chasana, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the closest family members come and they take pictures. And then at 5 or 6 o'clock, you know, the aunts and uncles start showing up. And then the rest of the guests come and they have a big Kabbalah Spanim and they have a big wedding. And then more people show up for the chuppah. A couple of people leave for the dancing. And then it comes the mitzvah tanz. And it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And who's left? You look around the hall and you ask yourself, who's left? Who's here? It's only the closest family members. He said, don't ever forget your family. Because at 2 o'clock in the morning, the only people who will be there for you are your family. So place your greatest emphasis on your family. It doesn't mean you shirk responsibility that you have to a community. But it means you never lose focus of your primary responsibility, which is your children, your family. And he said that's what it means. Hay alma kebehi lula damya. This world is like a Hasidic wedding. And when you get to 2 o'clock in the morning in the mitzvah tanz, the only person who's going to be there celebrating with you or crying with you is going to be your closest family member. So don't ever neglect them. But one of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov writes that perhaps this Gemara means something a little bit different. And he says the following. You know, we've had the opportunity through COVID to go to new halls, and we have new experiences seeing places that we've never seen before. At least I've had that. And it's exciting. And you come into a place, you come into a location, into a ballroom, and you're looking around, and you're fascinated by what you see. and you see all kinds of guests and all kinds of participants are there, and a lavish cuisine, and you see all kinds of different delicacies and food and an assortment of beverages on the other side, and so many different rooms. You walk in from one room to the next room, and you have a professional crew of photographers. It's not good enough to have one of them here. What happens if they miss something on the other side, the chassan side, the kala side, this side, the other side, the other room? And you have not just the photographers, then you have to have different video crews. And all of this is great. Then you walk into the ballroom, and you see floral arrangements, and you see what they've created for the chuppah. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. And centerpieces, and it's just so elaborate, and it's so beautiful. And a multi-piece symphony orchestra with the most professional singers. And all of that is wonderful. And it's all great, and everyone's having a great time. Now, what happens if you come under the chuppah and the chassan refuses to say, Hare at mekudeshesli? After all of this, the chassan says, you know, I have cold feet. I'm not sure I can do this right now. All of a sudden, it becomes an awkward experience for everybody. No one knows where to put themselves. Everyone starts looking at each other and saying, well, what do we do now? Well, we have this big, lavish cuisine set up. We have a beautiful ballroom. We have all the flowers. We have the music. Should we dance? Should we celebrate? Should we sing? It's very awkward. It's very uncomfortable. You know, I mentioned this story a year ago, and Rabbi Kelemer Alav HaShalom was there when I spoke. And he came over to me after I spoke, and he said, you know, Shai, you'll see, you stick around long enough in the Rabbanus, and you'll see everything in the world happens. All the things that you could have never dreamt in a million years would happen in your lifetime, happen. You'll see. So he says, let me give you an example. He said, I was at a wedding, and it was, I think he said it was in the last 2 years or so. And he tells me that under the chuppah, there was a friend of the chassan or the kala, I don't remember which one, from college, and it was a Irish Catholic. He wasn't Jewish, but he was very friendly with the chassan or the kala. So he came to the wedding, and he was very excited that at the chassan's tish there was what to drink. So he had something to drink, he had a little more to drink, a little more, a little too much, and before you knew it, the guy is completely drunk. And he says he's 6'6", 6'7", big, built guy, comes under the chuppah, chassan walks down, kala walks down, and this guy is standing right next to one of the poles of the chuppah, and he's wobbling. And everybody's looking at him. Nobody knows what to do. And suddenly, before you know it, chassan and kala are under the chuppah about to get started. This guy drops to the floor, faints in front of everyone, gets a big gash on his head, and a whole commotion breaks out. Someone says, call Hatzalah. Anyway, it's a commotion. Hatzalah comes in, puts him on a stretcher. They decide they're going to try to treat him outside. Why should they treat him in front of everyone? So they're going to wheel him out of the room and try to help him. The kala sees that this young man is being wheeled out of the room. She says, that's my friend! You're taking him out of the room? If he's going to the hospital, I'm going with him. Friends stick together. The chassan sees that the kala is on her way marching out. He says, hey, that's my kala. If she's leaving, I guess I'm leaving too. So the parents start getting involved. Hey, you know, like, let him go to the hospital. It's okay. The Hatzalah will take care of him. This is not a life-threatening illness. It'll be okay. He fainted. He'll be all right. He'll be back in a few hours. Nope. She won't hear it. Kala won't hear it. Chassan won't hear it. And before you know it, the chassan's out, the kala's out, the friend is out, and everybody else is there. And Rabbi Kelemer says, here we are, standing under the chuppah, with nothing to do. He said, I'm officially supposed to be officiating here. I'm supposed to be running this wedding, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So he said, he got up and he made an announcement. He said, you know, in Talmudic times, they used to have a long separation between the engagement and the party. So they had about 6 months to a year they used to wait between the time that the chassan and kala got engaged and the time when they made the celebration. So he said, now we're going to do it the other way. Everybody come into the ballroom. We're going to have a big celebration. We're all going to sit down and eat. And hopefully the chassan and kala will come back. We'll have the chuppah later. And he said, much later in the evening, when there was almost nobody left, chassan and kala showed up. They got married. And I hope they live happily ever after. But this was his story. And it reminded him of what I had quoted from the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov. Imagine, here you are at a wedding, and you've done everything to prepare, and it's so beautiful, and the chassan says, I'm not saying hareat mekudeshesli. What happens then? Writes the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a world and He wants us to enjoy it and He wants us to take advantage and He wants us to appreciate it and take everything, extract all that you can. It's so magnificent. And all of that is wonderful and it's all great, and that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam created it. Provided that at some point in my life I'm going to stop and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself, Harei At Mekudeshesli. Provided that at some point I'm going to turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I really want to be connected to you. I really want to be in a relationship with you. I really want to be married, and that's why I bought the beautiful house that I have, and that's why I drive the car, and that's why I live in the community that I do, and that's why I enjoy the beautiful world that you put me in, all because I feel a connection to you. Because all of this is pushing me toward serving you better. But if at no point in life do we turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Harei At Mekudeshesli, then what's it all worth? What's the value? We're like that chassan who comes under the chuppah and suddenly says, you know, I'm not sure I want to go ahead with this. And suddenly it becomes awkward for everybody. Don't allow this world, this life, to be awkward. Make it meaningful. Make it the most we can. And that's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachreinu L'chaim. But we don't just ask for life. We end off the sentence by saying, Leman Cha Elokim Chaim. I'll tell you exactly why I want life. I want life because you put me here and obviously you have a mission for me to do, and I want it all. Leman Cha Elokim Chaim, because I believe that there's something here that I can do for you. I believe that I have a certain mission, that I have a certain tafkid, a certain purpose. There's something divine inside of me that allows me to be here. And that is my guiding force, that is my guiding light, that is my mission, that's what I'm always going to see as my purpose. To find the opportunity to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harei At Mekudeshes Li. This past week in the Parsha, Parshas Vayelech, we know that it's Moshe Rabbeinu's final words that he shares with the Jewish people. And in the middle of that, Moshe Rabbeinu says in the name of God, Va'anochi Haster Aster Panei Bayomahu. God says, I will hide my face on that day. Now the Baal Shem Tov points out, what's Haster Aster Panai? There's such a thing called Hester Panim, which means God hides his face. And obviously we know that there are many generations and many circumstances in our own lives where we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is almost hidden. I once saw one of the Mefarshim writes that as Avraham Avinu is going to the Akedah, the greatest challenge that a human being can ever be asked to do, Avraham Avinu is going toward the Akedah. It's amazing to see myself on a big screen there. Avraham Avinu is going toward the Akedah. And as he's going, it says, Vayaras Hamakol Merachok, which means Avraham Avinu sees the place where he was supposed to do the Akedah. He sees it in the distance. One of the Mefarshim says that what it means is, Vayaras Hamakol Merachok, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a distance. He could not understand, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so far away from me right now? How is the Ribbono Shel Olam so distant? I don't understand what he wants. There are times in our lives when we feel we're living through Hester Panim. You ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can this be? How is it possible? Avinu Avarachaman, you're our merciful Father. How can it be you allow this circumstance to unfold? You allow this tragedy to happen in my life. You allow this person to be so sick. You allow this person to have lost their job. And now the family's hungry and they don't have money to support themselves. How can all of this be? That's Hester Panim. But that's only one challenge. Writes the Baal Shem Tov. You know what's even worse? That's only half the problem. When you have a person who lives through life and feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden, that I have no relationship with him, that I daven and he doesn't hear me, he doesn't care about me, that's a deep tragedy. But you know what's far worse, says the Baal Shem Tov? The generation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Haster, Aster Panai, I'm going to doubly hide my face, meaning he hides the fact that he's hidden. That we don't even realize that we are so removed and so withdrawn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't even know what it means to be connected anymore. If you've ever spoken to somebody who's having problems with Shalom Bayis, you know, so they should go to a professional, they should go for therapy, they should not go to the rabbi. The rabbi is not a licensed professional. He doesn't know what he's doing. So we send them to a professional if they come to us. Now what happens if either the husband or the wife, obviously it takes two to be in a complicated relationship. What if the husband or the wife does not even recognize that there's a problem? They don't even recognize that there's an issue. So you can send them for therapy, and you can have them go to the greatest professionals in the world. But if you don't recognize that there's an issue that needs to be worked on, that there's something deficient in a relationship, it is impossible to ever try to repair it. Because you're totally oblivious, you're totally unaware. You don't even know the fact that there is anything wrong in your life at all. The Ramban has an absolutely amazing statement in his commentary on Shir HaShirim, where he says, the first mitzvah is Lidrosh v'lasir u'lechapes, to search, to seek out, and to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, makes sense. Why do we need to do that? Because if you don't understand that there's a God in the world, then obviously, says the Ramban, who are you doing the mitzvahs for? So we need to find God in the world. Okay. Writes the Ramban, im ein yediyah, if I don't have that sense of understanding in my life that there is a God in my life, lo yitachen shum davar mehavoda, I cannot serve Him. It is impossible. You can show up to shul for the rest of your life. You can learn, you can daven, you can do chesed, you can be on the Chever Kadisha, you can do everything. Be the greatest Jew out there. But if you don't understand that there has to be a yediya, there has to be a recognition, there has to be an understanding that there is a God in the world, and that is why I'm doing it, lo yitachen shum davar me'avoda, all of my service is meaningless. How could it mean anything? How could it mean anything? And he likens this to the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says, imagine, the Mishnah says, if you have a Kohen who does not know who he's offering the sacrifice to, he doesn't know that the reason why he's sacrificing a carbon on someone's behalf is because it's supposed to be directed toward God Himself. The Mishnah says, "Ein avodaso avoda." That is not avoda. So you can do all the motions, you can do everything that's supposed to be done, but that is not called an avoda. It means nothing at all. Those are the words of the Ramban. And says the Baal Shem Tov, worse than a person who feels distant and removed from God is the person who feels haster aster panai, the person who realizes that God is so hidden. I live in a generation that is so callous, that is so apathetic and so blasé that they don't even realize how distant they are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. I never fully appreciated what this meant. What does it mean, haster aster panai? Never appreciated what it meant until a few summers ago. I was invited to speak in the Beit HaAlmin Modi'in in Israel. We should all have the schus to go to Eretz Yisrael. Halavai ve'ulai. But I hope that in this interim period, when many of us have not had the great privilege of being in Eretz Yisrael, I hope at least, if nothing else, it has made us grow and develop a chibas ha'aretz. How much we yearn and how much we long to be in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, a few summers ago, it just brings back memories. I was invited to speak to commemorate the yahrzeit of the three boys who were tragically killed as teenagers. It's already 7 years since that happened. So I came to this cemetery, and the graves, if you ever have a chance to go, they're so symbolic, it's so beautiful, it's so moving and powerful to see it. So I came there and I warmly embraced the parents, and I was led to my seat, which was right in front of these beautiful gravestones. And one of the parents said to me that I was scheduled to be the first speaker, but he told me that I wasn't going to start for another 10 to 15 minutes. Now I looked around and I see everyone's here. Everyone's quiet. There are no more seats. There are many, many people gathered around. What are we waiting for? I'm the first speaker. What are we waiting 15 minutes for? And what happened next completely blew me away. These parents stood at the foot of their children's grave on the day of the yahrzeit and led the hundreds of people who were gathered there in 15 minutes of uninterrupted songs from Shir HaShirim. They sang songs expressing their connection, their love, and their unwavering commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I sat there and I just couldn't stop crying. I certainly couldn't speak. And I stopped myself and I said, I'm crying maybe because this brings back memories or images of whatever we saw when these boys were captured. And just the whole story was such an emotional story for those of us who were watching and following the whole thing. And a brutal murder is obviously something to cry about. But then I realize it's really not why I'm crying. I'm crying so much more because I'm living my entire life without the slightest understanding of what it really means to be connected to God Himself. I am so distant from that experience. I have no idea what it means to live life with that kind of awareness, with that kind of unwavering, resolute, and staunch commitment of unequivocal acceptance and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu regardless of what happens. I have no idea. Not just I'm not living it. I have no idea how to connect to it. I don't even know what it means. And I said to myself, here I am. I've been keeping Shabbos since I'm a child. I grew up in a religious home, some would say. I grew up in a religious home. My parents raised me. I go to shul every day. I daven. I put on tefillin. My wife lights Shabbos candles. We keep kosher. All the things that a good Jew is supposed to do. I try to do chesed when I have the opportunity to do so. And all of that, with all of that, I realize I am so far removed from what it means to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the first time it hit me what it means. Haster aster panei bayomahu. It's the first time it hit me. What does it mean when you don't even realize how disconnected you are? And that's the tragedy. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are some generations where it's not just that they feel distant. It's that they live all of life and they're doing everything they're supposed to be doing, but they don't even realize how far away they are from a meaningful relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's what we ask. Zachreinu L'chaim. We all want life. We all ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us life. We all know how fragile life can be and how many people unfortunately don't have the lives that they always look forward to, that they always wanted. And yet, we end off that sentence and we say, L'mancha Elokim Chaim. There's one goal, there's one purpose in the life that I'm asking for. And that is that I want to have a relationship with you throughout the duration of my life experiences. Look no further than the Haftarah we just read on Rosh Hashanah. And we read the amazingly emotional story about Chana. Chana was a woman who unfortunately was not blessed with a child for many, many years. And we read the story about how much pain she was in, and then she cried her heart out. Such heartfelt tefillah. It's referred to today and for all eternity as the Tefillas Chana. The Gemara Maseches Brachos learns the halachos of tefillah from the way that Chana davened, because her tefillah was so profound, it was so powerful. So the simple understanding is that we say this Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah because we want to remind ourselves that there are so many people who need to be remembered. So many people who ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should be redeemed. We know so many people who need a parnasa, who need a shidduch, who need a refuah, who need a yeshua, who need shalom bayis, who need all kinds of things. And the same way that Chana was lacking in her life, she asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on Rosh Hashanah, she was remembered. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed her with a child. So we want to evoke that emotion, and we want to remind people on Rosh Hashanah that it can happen. If you are that individual, and all of us should see ourselves as such, everybody has something in their life that they can use a little bit of redemption with, a little bit of help for. And if you are that person who understands that I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send me a Yeshua in one or another aspect of my life, you should remember that Chana was in the same situation, the same predicament as you are. And don't forget that she was remembered. Don't give up because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to your tefillah as well. Offer a tefillah with sincerity. And who knows? Maybe next year Rosh Hashanah will all be celebrating your story the same way we celebrate the story of Chana. That's the simple understanding. But I was thinking about it more, and I think it goes so much deeper than that. What happens when Chana is blessed with a child? What does Chana say immediately when she is informed that she's going to have a child? Chana's response is, V'nasata la'amasecha zera anashim. Please give me, I'm your maidservant. I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give me a child. It's all I ask you for. And you know what I'll do? V'nasativ la'ashem kol yimei chayav. I will make sure that this child will be given over to you, God, for his entire life. That's why we say Tfilas Chana on Rosh Hashanah. Because Chana repeats it again a few psukim later. V'gam anochi hisheltiu la'ashem kol hayamim. For anybody who's blessed to have children, we have the opportunity here to refocus. You have children, remind yourself why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you those children. V'nasativ la'ashem kol yimei chayav. My job as a parent, my job as an educator, my job as a community member, my job as a bubby, as a zadie, as an aunt, as an uncle, as whoever I am, is to remind people throughout life that the reason we're here is V'nasativ la'ashem kol yimei chayav. My life is here L'mancha Elokim Chaim. It's all for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who greater to remind us of that than Chana, who pledged that when her child is going to be born, every decision that she was going to make in his life, as she was raising him, was going to be determined by that singular focus. V'nasativ la'ashem kol yimei chayav. The Chafetz Chaim writes, a mashal. There was a poor man, couldn't seem to get himself off the ground, he couldn't get a parnasa. Somebody told him, you know, you should become an entrepreneur. Start your own business. Problem is, in order to start your own business, you need investors. I don't have any money. So somebody said, look, there's a very generous individual in the community. Trust me, he'll help you. I'm sure he's going to feel bad for you. I'm sure he's going to help you. Okay? He goes, he bumps into this individual in shul. He says to him, you know, I'm just a poor man. I'm trying to provide for my family. I can't seem to get it off the ground. Somebody gave me this great idea. I should open a business, but I need investors. Are you willing to invest in me? He says, look, right now, I'm not able to think about this. Come to my office this afternoon at 12 o'clock. Let's discuss it. We'll have a conversation. I'm happy to be helpful. I just need to know a little bit more of the details of what it is you want to do, how much you need, how long you need it for, when you're going to pay back, are you going to pay back? I just want to hear a little bit more of the details. Okay, 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock comes, the businessman finishes a meeting, he's looking around. This man is nowhere to be found. He asks the doorman downstairs, do you see anybody? No. He asks him to look outside in the street. You see anybody out there? No. 12:15, 12:30, 12:45. Finally he says, okay, I better go get some lunch. He leaves his office, goes down the street to the cafe, and he bumps into this man. He says, excuse me, sir, we made up you wanted to meet at 12 o'clock. Where were you? He says, oh, you're not going to believe it. So many things came up today. The school called that my child got some fever. I had to pick him up out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that. And then, as I was about to go, I got in a car accident, and I had to wait on the side of the road until the police came. Everyone's healthy, everyone's fine, but you know, one thing after the next, I couldn't make it on time. Sorry. Okay, things happen, I understand. Let's try again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll have a conversation tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Next day comes. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, 12:05, the businessman's looking around, he's asking the doorman, where is he? Look out in the street, nowhere to be found. 12:45 again, he says, okay, it's time for me to go get some lunch. He runs out to the local cafe, and once again, he bumps into this man in the street, he says, where were you? He says, you're not going to believe it. I got a call that my house was flooded, and this happened, and the other thing, and I had to take care of everything. I couldn't make it on time, I'm sorry I missed the meeting. He says, come on, this is ridiculous, 2 days in a row, it doesn't make sense. All right, but things happen, I understand. Tomorrow, show up at 12 o'clock. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to discuss it. I'll give you what you need. Just show up. I have to talk to you. Okay, they make up. They're going to meet the third day, 12 o'clock in the office. Comes 12 o'clock, 12:05, 12:15, 12:30, 12:45. Again, a third day in a row. He's nowhere to be found. Goes out to the cafe, assuming he's going to meet him again. Doesn't see him. That afternoon at Mincha, he bumps into him in shul. He says, where were you? I don't understand. He's like, oh yeah, I forgot all about it. So many things are on my head. I don't know. My cell phone died. I couldn't get my reminders. I had my calendar was all set. It was supposed to set a reminder for me every 15 minutes. I forgot all about it. He says, okay, you're obviously not serious. If you're sincere about it, then you take the words, the pledges, the promises that you made to me. If you really need it, then you show up. Then you do what you say. And obviously, if you're not showing up, it means you don't care enough. It means you're not that serious about it. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, this is what the Navi means when he says, "Kechu imachem dvarim vishuvu el Hashem." How do we do tshuva? You don't need to run to a mekubal, and you don't need to go daven by a kever. All those things are nice. Maybe they help, maybe they don't. I don't know. But kechu imachem dvarim. Which words are we supposed to take? Writes the Chafetz Chaim, we come to shul, we daven, wherever it is that we daven. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all kinds of things. We ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, V'simloch Ata Hashem Levadecha. Really? You want me to be the Melech HaOlam? That's interesting. Okay, well, I'm here. I'm prepared to be the Melech HaOlam. How about show up tomorrow at 12 o'clock? We'll have a discussion. Are you prepared to serve me? So, we start off the davening Rosh Hashanah. Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol masecha. Really? You want me to put Yiras Shamayim into the world? How much Yiras Shamayim are you really interested in having in your own life? Kechu imachem dvarim. Chafetz Chaim gives 100 examples where he says, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'sein b'libeinu lahavin ulahaskil l'shmoa l'ilmod ulalamed v'hoir einenu b'sarasecha. I just want to know more Torah. I want to understand. Really? When was the last time you showed up to a shir? When was the last time you opened up a sefer? Don't come to the shir. When was the last time you opened up a sefer? You're going to come to shul tomorrow and say with a straight face, v'hoir einenu b'sarasecha? God, please enlighten me. I want to understand your Torah. Really? Harchev picha v'amaleu. I'm ready to fill you up. I'm ready to give you the gift. I'm ready to give you everything. And yet, you don't show up. Well, are you serious or you're not serious? You say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachreinu l'chaim, remember me for life. Why? L'mancha elukim chaim. I want to serve you. I want to be related to you. I want to have a relationship. I want to get married. We made all this beautiful life for ourselves. I have a beautiful house. I live in a great community. What could be better? It's great. I have a beautiful family. Everything's really going well. L'mancha elukim chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, really? You want to live life connected to me? Well, here I am. I'm ready. You're not showing up. You ask me for a meeting every single day. You repeat your Shemona Esrei every single day, numerous times a day, multiple times throughout the year. And yet, do you sincerely mean this or are you just kidding me? Because if you really mean it, then show up. I'm here. I'm prepared. I'm ready to marry you. It doesn't seem that you're prepared to marry me. And that, says the Chafetz Chaim, you don't need to look too far to be spurred to tshuva. Kechu imachem dvarim means take your own words, vishuvu el Hashem. I'm going to close with one final comment, and that is, obviously, the centerpiece of our davening throughout the Slichos and on Yom Kippur are the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim. When we say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham L'chanun, so much so, the Shari Tshuva writes in Shulchan Aruch, that it is Aser Lahazkir Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim Shelo B'Kavana. You're not allowed to say the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim unless you understand what you're saying. You have to really mean it when you say it. So what's so significant about the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim? Where does this come from? So it's interesting. The Gemara actually tells us when this whole Yud Gimel Midos started. And we all know it because we read it on a public fast day. On every Tainus Tzibur, we read it, Parshas Vayechal. That's what we say on a fast day, and it evokes an emotion inside of us. Hashem, Hashem, Kerachem Lechan. So the Gemara tells us the backstory. Writes the Gemara, Meseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra. The pasuk says that God passed over Moshe Rabbeinu's face, and he called out. Says the Gemara, what does it mean? Malamed shenes atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu betalis. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on a talis. Now, why do you have to put on a talis? Who's he the chazan for? Who's the tzibur? Who's he dominating? Oh, whatever. The Gemara says that's what he did. And he showed Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what you do. When the Jewish people are in trouble, yasu lefanai keseder azeh. This is exactly what they need to do. What do they need to do? Put a talis over your head and say, Hashem, Hashem, kel racham lechanun, and everything's fine. and everything's fine. So much so, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Bris Krusa L'Shlosh Es Remido She'enon Chozros Reka. There is some kind of promise, there's some kind of commitment that a person who says the Yud Gimel Mido Shel Rachamim, their tefillos will be answered. Wow, pretty amazing. So this is an age-old practice, that we say Yud Gimel Midos in the Slichos on Yom Kippur, all based off the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this when he was showing Moshe Rabbeinu how to daven. And he said, if your children are going to be in trouble someday, the answer to them is very simple. Hashem Hashem Kel Racha Mechanun, Yasu Lefanai Kaseder Hazeh. So the Shalom HaKadosh points out, it's the wrong term to use here. Yasu Lefanai Kaseder Hazeh. What should the Gemara have said? Yomru lefanai keseder hazeh. They should say these words of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. What does it mean, Ya'asu lefanai keseder hazeh? They should do these words. Writes the Shalom HaKadosh, the answer is, if you want to look it up, it's the Shalom HaKadosh in Parshas Kisisa, exactly where it's supposed to be, on the Yud Gimel Midos where the Psukim mention them. Shalom HaKadosh explains, it's so simple. Yasu lefanai keseder hazeh means you have to digest, you have to internalize and incorporate the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim into your life. You have to commit yourself. Moshe Rabbeinu was being told, if you find in future generations that you're in trouble, you know what the answer is? Yasu lefanai keseder hazeh. Don't say the Yud Gimel Midos. Live the Yud Gimel Midos. Be a kind, compassionate, merciful, forgiving, understanding, accepting person. Be the kind of person that is Erech HaPayim, that has a little bit of patience. Be the kind of person that doesn't blow up when something happens. Be truthful. Be Virav Chesed Ve'emes. Be truthful in everything you do. Speak the truth. Live the truth. Be compassionate and merciful the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Ya'asu Lefanai Keseder Hazeh. You live by those ideals, by those principles, those ethics and those standards and values and morals? Miyad ani mocha lahem. It always fascinates me every year that before Rosh Hashanah, people are running around for all kinds of skulas. So they have Tehillim groups. I'm not making fun. They're great. They're beautiful. If you get one more Perek Tehillim said because of a group, you've won. It's great. It's all great. But you run around, you do all kinds of things. And you visit all kinds of rabbis and mekubalim and rebbetzins and a bracha here and a thing there. I'll tell you, every year, Rav Asher Weiss tells me the same comment. Which skulas work, which don't work, who knows? You have a kameya, you know, Chaim Kanievsky gave me this pomegranate, I'm going to eat it, Rosh Hashanah, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Maybe something will happen, maybe it won't. Oh, this Mekubal sent me a bottle of wine. I'm going to use it for Kiddush on Shabbos Shuva. Psh, I'm going to have the best year ever. I don't know. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know enough about skulas. But what he tells me every year is, what we do know is, that when the Gemara tells us a skula, that works. So what is the skula that the Gemara says? So the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis writes, an amazing skula. Again. Kala merachem al habrios, merachamim alav min hashamayim. You want the greatest school in the world. We all need rachamei shamayim. We all need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chen v'chesed. We all beg for his mercy and his compassion. You want to know how to get that? Anyone who is caring and sensitive and compassionate and patient for other people, Merachamim Alav Min Hashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act the same way with us. What greater skula can you have than that? Yasu Lefanai Keseder Hazeh means, don't just say the Yud Gimel Midos. We're going to say them over and over again throughout our experience on Yom HaKippurim. And it's meant to be an uplifting experience. And I'm sure it will be for all of us, wherever we're going to be, whichever minyan we're going to daven in, whichever shul we're going to find ourselves in. It's going to be a meaningful and powerful experience. But as we do that, let's not forget the way the Gemara formulates this idea of Yud Gimel Midos. Yasu lefanai keseder hazeh. Let us commit ourselves not to say the Yud Gimel Midos, but to act and live the Yud Gimel Midos. Let us experience them. Let us understand that the more compassionate and caring and understanding and patient that we are for other people, the more we have the Gemara's trick, the Gemara's formula of Kala Merachim Alabrios, Merachamim Alav, Min Hashamayim. And it's in that spirit that we have every right to demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kasveinu B'Sefer HaChayim, because we pledge to live a life L'mancha Elokim Chayim. We're living the kind of life that is for you, that is connected to you, that is connected to your children, that is all focused on one purpose and one goal, and that is to serve you and to serve your people. I wish all of you a Gemar Chasima Tova, Shiyamale Hashem, Kol Mishalos Libeinu Letova, and may we all be blessed that our tefilos of Zachreinu Lechayim, Melech Chafetz Bachayim, V'chasveinu B'Sefer Hachayim, L'mancha Elokim Chayim, that we should appreciate and understand what it means to live a life connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living a life of purpose and meaning and mission. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant all of us a Gemar Chasima Tova and a good Kibbutz Diyar. So nice to see all of you again.